Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gina Chun, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Unto you, repent, O ye sinners, repent. All right, that's enough of that. It's a bit rude, isn't it? What does repent even mean? Anyway, what are we asking, oh, ye sinners, to do? Sinners, by, of course, meaning myself as well. Repent. Repentance. Well, that's why we are talking about repentance on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. The word repentance literally means to turn around. Or it means to make a radical turn from one way of life to another. It usually involves a reviewing of our actions and feeling sorry or regretful for something we've done, to the point of even changing our life. But the practice of repentance also plays an important role in major religions where it's considered necessary for salvation. Repentance usually involves some sort of act of confession to God. It appears often in Scripture. In the New Testament, the first command Jesus gave was in Matthew chapter 4 when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Which was repeating exactly what John the Baptist said just prior to that in the third chapter of Matthew. And in Acts, the Apostle Paul preached repentance to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God, proclaiming the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now God commands all people everywhere to repent. In the Gospel according to Mark, when Jesus first preaches, he says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." So, if you'd like to know more, be sure to ask your pastor.
Lila here from United Methodist Communications. Today we're in the kitchen trying a recipe for potato puffs from one of the oldest known Methodist church cookbooks. Now this recipe is from the Ware Cookbook, which was published in 1898 by the ladies of the Methodist Episcopal Church in Ware, Massachusetts. The recipes from this 25-cent cookbook are a little tricky because cooking at the turn of the 20th century was still done over a kitchen fire. We're going to try Mrs. George F. Marsh's recipe for potato puffs with some modern shortcuts. So we microwaved our potatoes for 10 minutes and then cooled them so that they're cool enough to handle. Now we can just scoop out the middle. So with the peels removed, we can now mash those with butter, salt, cream, and 2 egg yolks. Now Mrs. Marsh baked these in cast iron gem pans, but I'm using a nonstick muffin pan sprayed with cooking spray. Next time we're going to try loaded potato puffs. Add some bacon, chives, cheese, and maybe sour cream. For this and other vintage Methodist cookbook recipes, visit our webpage.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chung, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected with you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome. Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chino Chung, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome you all to worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. How are you doing this morning? Are you up? Are you dressed? While we have all this freedom to be where we are and how we are clothing, but I encourage you to be respectful. Now show your respect to God with your postures, with your clothing. Let us gather together as we gather together at this table, at this worship service. Let us have our God on top of our list and show God all our hearts, minds, and soul that we respect God and we love God. How about that? Let us worship God. Let us praise our God. Let us be together and be a worshiping communal faith this morning. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, on this first Sunday in Lent, as we embark on our Lenten journeys, help us to release our past, our sorrows, and all we carry with us so that we may experience anew God's mercy and compassion. Our faith journeys take twists and turns, but with every turn, help us to discover Christ's love and spread that love by helping those in need, by showing kindness and promoting justice in our faith community and around the world. By your grace, may we find joy in being on the Lenten path as a disciple of Christ. Reawaken our spirits, just as nature bursts forth each springtime with new buds and blossoms. Each new day is a gift from you, an opportunity for a new beginning. And we thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please arise in spirit and or in body. And let us sing the hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. As we begin our journey, this Lenten journey, let us make it time. Let's take time to be holy. Let us sing it out. Let us praise the Lord.
Thank you. morning, everybody. We're back at home. And so is this guy. We hope you all are having a wonderful Sunday, and I have a couple of jokes for you, Joe. Are you ready? And I have jokes for you all as well. Are you ready? Okay. What do you call a tyrannosaur that's sleeping?
A sleepasaur.
No. A dino snore. What do you do with a baby in space?
What?
You rock it. You know, like rock it and you rock. Do you get it?
Oh, yeah.
It took you a minute. Why did the teddy bear refuse dessert? Oh, wow! You figured that one out! Good job!
No, I did not figure that one out. I heard my Nina told it to me.
Oh, alright, your Nina told you. What is a plant that you can hold in your hand? A palm tree! Okay, thanks for the pity laugh. What did you think of those jokes?
They were kind of funny.
I think kind of is the operative word. Understand that joke. What do you need to know? You need to know what the word stuffed means when you're talking about a bear, right?
Like a stuffed animal.
And then you need to know what stuffed means when you're talking about eating dessert, right? So you need to hear, you need to know both of those things. So when you hear the word stuffed, you're thinking, oh, that sounds like what we say when somebody's really full. So when you hear a word that sounds like another word, that's part of what makes it a joke. Well, so the reason I was bringing that up was because our passage today is from Isaiah chapter 40. And in that passage, Isaiah says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Have you not known? Have you not heard?" What would an Israelite say when they heard those words? What would they think that sounds like? They would hear what was called the Shema, which is the greatest commandment. If you remember that, it is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength."
I thought you meant arm.
No, not all your arm, all your strength. I was trying to make a muscle. See, like this, all your strength. So when an ancient Israelite heard that passage, they would have thought of the "Hear, O Israel," when Isaiah says, "Have you not heard?" And so that would sound like the Shema. Have you found it hard sometimes, Joe, to keep the Shema, to remember to love God? Actually, we talked about that the other day, didn't we?
Actually, I was saying that is too hard to follow that commandment.
And we talked a little...
Because I love my parents so much.
Well, that's very sweet.
And I love them more than with all your strength and mind, so...
Well, we love you more than anything. But also, we told you that one of the ways in which you show your love for God is by loving us. And one of the ways we show our love for God is by loving you. But the other thing is that sometimes it is hard to love. Sometimes we find it hard. In fact, when we're really stressed out or tired or mad about something, we don't always love our best, you know? That happens a lot during COVID. I know that a lot of us are just kind of bouncing off the walls, ready to go like that. So it can be hard, especially right now. We've been doing this for so long. It feels like, how much longer is it going to go? And you know what the Isaiah says, the prophet, talking to Israel and saying, don't forget, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. And then I wanted to read this to you because he goes on and says, just listen to these words. God does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even children will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there's a lot of these sounds-like kind of moments in the Bible. If you know where to look and if you ever read your Bible and see, oh, yeah, that reminds me of something else I read before, then, you know, asking that, because there's a lot of fun little things that you can learn by finding these little sounds-like moments in the Bible. But one of these through lines about through the Bible is, when we're not at our best, God is still faithful. God is still God. God is still with us. God hasn't abandoned us or left us. And God can give us the strength to remember God, to remember how to love and to remember to be patient and kind. God is always there. God is faithful. And God hasn't left us. And so this reminds us of that. And maybe if we can remember that this week, even when it's tough, even when we're kind of stressed out or ready to kind of tear each other's hair out. I don't know. You've got a lot of hair to tear out, so that would be very painful. So don't do it. And we can remember that God is with us anyway. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for helping us hear and obey your voice when you tell us to love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We pray that when we feel tired and when we feel weak, can you remind us how much you help us and are still with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Bye.
That seemed really enthusiastic. Okay, maybe that's a little too...
Thank you.
A reading from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, and turned over their tables. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, "Get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace." Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. "Passion for God's house will consume me." But the Jewish leaders demanded, "What are you doing? If God gave you the authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said, "this temple," he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. These are the words from God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. As I get older, I feel it's important to have a yearly checkup. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. When you think of Lent, what comes into your mind first? Lent. What does it mean to you? Lent is not only an important part of the Christian calendar, Christian year, but also a very important part of each of our spiritual journeys. In the early church, Lent was a time of preparation for those to be baptized, a time of instruction, self-examination, and preparation. And then it developed later in Christian church history as a time for all Christians to annually stop and spend 40 days in self-examination, in penitence. So in short, Lent is an introspective season. It's a season when God calls us to look into ourselves. How? Brutally honestly. Brutally honestly. Last time when I went to my doctor for a yearly checkup, I hadn't done it for a while. And it was the very first time that he asked me to do this. So he told me, "Hey, you know, take off all your clothing except underwear." What? So I just followed his instructions. So I took everything. Don't imagine, okay? You know, I took everything but underwear. Then I felt very uncomfortable. So I was sitting and I felt uncomfortable. I was standing. So throughout the whole time of waiting, I felt very uncomfortable. And he came in and he did whatever he needed to do. On my way out, I had to ask this question. So I was almost naked before this doctor. And I had to ask this question to myself. Do you know, when was the last time you were this naked, this brutally honest before God? How about you? If somebody asked me, "Hey, Gino, what is prayer?" And based on my best knowledge in the Bible, I would say prayer is being brutally honest before God. Being brutally honest before God. When you humbly stand before God, your Creator, you want to be brutally honest. Why? Because you accept the truth that God is your Creator and God knows you, ins and outs of you. That was the reason that we began the season of Lent on Ash Wednesday with these words. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. It reminds us that we are God's creatures. While we are mortal, God is immortal. While we are limited, God is unlimited. Isn't this enough reason that we should be humble before God? That's how we begin Lent, with this very basic awareness that we are God's creatures. That's how we go through Lent, with this humility. With this humility, we want to be brutally, honestly examine ourselves before God. Lent is a season I brutally, honestly look into myself before God. During the Lent this year, do you want to do so-called repentance for self-justification and self-compromise? Or do you seriously desire to repent all your sins before God and get cleansed by God and get reconciled with others and yourself? When we examine ourselves, and many times we get tempted to avoid what's in there. When we find something dirty and nasty and ugly in us, we may want to pretend as if we had seen nothing. Been there and done that? We have expression for it, sweeping under the carpet. In other words, you cannot honestly confess your sins and brokenness before God unless you are brutally honest with God. Lent is a season you brutally, honestly examine yourself before God. During the Lent this year, I would like to ask you to reflect on this question with that brutally honest attitude. Are you ready to write it down? Don't rely on your memory. I know we all have a short memory. It's good, but it's short. So please write it down. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? We Christians often say, we are the body. We are the body of Christ. Then what do we mean by that? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? Today's scripture reading gives us a framework for this meditation, this Lenten self-examination. Jesus enters into the temple, the holy place, and what he sees angers him. And he takes the whip and cords, and he chases the money changers and those selling cattle and doves out of the temple. Now this story probably makes some of us uncomfortable. We do not often see a picture in our minds of Jesus as being angry. Very angry, and angry enough to overturn tables, cause a considerable chaos. We tend to have a picture of Jesus as sweet. And so an image of Jesus as full of anger probably is unsettling to us. Then let us first check what the money changers and merchants were doing in the temple courts. So why is Jesus this angry? Many people traveled for days to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So instead of bringing their own animals on the journey to sacrifice, they would buy them from the merchants at the temple courts. Before they could purchase the animals, they had to exchange their money for local currency from the money changers in order to pay for the animals. The merchants and money changers were at the temple providing goods and services to the people. So why is Jesus angry at those money changers and merchants? Because of they're greedy in just practices. They manipulated the worshipper's passion for God to make more money. They were so corrupt that they were charging up to 100 times the markup on their goods and services. For example, if a dove normally costs $1, they were charging up to $100. Can you imagine that? And the people had no choice. They had to have an animal to sacrifice. So Jesus got upset with them because they were cheating themselves and others. Jesus got sadly angry because they gave up on their human dignity for themselves and for others. They abused themselves by abusing their moral consciousness. They abused others by cheating them and manipulating their passion for worshiping God. So Jesus got furious because they turned God's temple into a place of manipulating, cheating, and injustice. At this point, Jesus takes the idea of a temple and he relates it to his own body. As a temple means the symbol of God's presence to Jews, Jesus tells them he is the temple of God where God abides. Jesus saying, I am God's presence, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the temple of God and we are the body of Christ, so we are the temple of God as well. So my life is something holy and I must treat it as something holy. I must treat my body, my mind, my emotions, and my whole being as something holy because God dwells within my life. My beloved siblings in Christ, how do you treat your body, your life, and yourself? When God created us out of dust, God created us in the image of God. That there is something about us that reflects the divine creator. The Bible says that Jesus Christ abides in us and we are temple of the holy divine. How do you treat your body, your life, and yourself? Moreover, when the Bible says that we are God's temple, it also means that all of my siblings are holy. God wants me to treat every other human being as a sacred being, a holy temple where God abides as well. Regardless of our skin color, ethnicity, citizenship, sexual orientation, or socioeconomic classes, education background, you name it, regardless, God wants us to treat other people, all human beings, as sacred temples of Jesus Christ. If I can begin to see them as holy temples in which God dwells, I will begin to change the way in which I relate to them. How do you treat others on other God's holy temples? Do you treat your own personal life as a holy temple, a sacred place? Do you see others as holy temples, holy beings who must be treated with respect and love? Lent is a season I brutally, honestly look into myself before God and see who we are and how we relate to God in Christ. Lent is season, you brutally, honestly look into yourself before God and see who you are and how you relate to God and others in Christ. How would you treat God's temple? How would you treat yourself and others in whom God abides? What do you mean but you are the body of Christ. Let us pray. Oh God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me. Holy and gracious God, help us to remember that each of us is the holy temple. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and enable us to treat ourselves and others as a sacred beings. May the Holy Spirit also empower us to proclaim the good news of God's presence and love by words and deeds. As Jesus cleansed the temple in Jerusalem, may we continually be cleansed by the presence of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Please arise in spirit and or in body, and I'd like to invite you to sing with me this song, Sacred the Body. Let me read the first verse for you. Sacred the body God has created, temple of a spirit that dwells deep inside. Cherish each person, nurture creation, treat flesh as a holy, that love may abide. Let us sing it out and praise the Lord. Let us sing it together. The Lord be with you. One day, I had this gathering. I went to this gathering. And a little child came to me and, "You're a pastor, right?" "Yes, I am." "Where did you get the water for baptism?" "Where did I get the water for baptism?" "Is it special water? Is it magic water?" So I said, "No, it's just a regular water." "Oh, you can use a regular water?" "Yeah." "So what makes it special?" I said, "God's blessing. I get regular water, and then I bless in Jesus' name, and it makes it special." God calls us to follow Jesus not because we are special, not because we are extraordinary. Jesus called all ordinary people and invite them to extraordinary God's ministries. Isn't it amazing? As we gather around this table this morning, we want to remember that. We may be all ordinary people, but God's grace allows us to be part of God's extraordinary ministries that proclaims God's extraordinary love for all people. You are special. I am special. Because Jesus Christ makes us special. These ordinary people, extraordinary people. The night before Jesus Christ died on the cross for us to forgive all our sins, we had this feast with his disciples. He took bread, broke the bread, and gave thanks to God and broke the bread and shared it with disciples and said, "Have it. Eat it. And do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me." When I break bread, you may want to break your bread too. When the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to God and shared cup with his disciples that, "This is my blood, given for you and for many, for forgiveness of sins. Drink it. And every single time you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. So we remember what Jesus Christ had done for us on the cross as we get around this table. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them before us the body and blood of Christ, that we may before the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now you share your Holy Communion with the people around you and also with yourself. And this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ given for you. And my siblings in this room, if you feel safe, please come forward and receive the Holy Communion. as God's people who experience God's grace through the message, the good news, and the Holy Communion, let us respond to God's grace together. Please join me in response to God's grace. God wants our love. Did you hear me? God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. Let us count all the blessings God has given to us, and let us be a cheerful giving community of faith. Today, before we pray together, today we have the tribute to Priscilla, one of our saints, our siblings in Christ, who went back home to be the Lord. So today I'm sure we have many friends and family members of Priscilla with us. We welcome you with our hearts. And those who are on chat, you may express your welcoming hearts to them as well. So let us watch the tribute video for our sibling, our saint, Priscilla, first.
Priscilla. Priscilla was my neighbor and my friend. The Killians were already living here on Birch Ridge Road when we moved here, 56 years ago. We had already joined St. Matthew's under Gary Campbell, and I think they joined not too long after. I always admired or came to admire Priscilla and all the little things that she, without any notice. She and Sylvia Venata ran the group circle where I went, and Priscilla would somehow find interesting programs, and she always brought holiday decorations for the table, and did this with ease that they made in the winter. She would bring me a couple of quarts, and I loved them. Priscilla also kept tabs on the neighbors,
and we sold them to church families, and she worked hard at it. She also had us help her in the kitchen, chopping vegetables and that sort of thing. So she did work, and work she enjoyed. It was a joy to her, and we just loved her to pieces. A hard worker, as I said, and an organizer. I will miss her so much. She'd been blessed with a lot of things, talents that we never knew of. Now she has gone into the loving arms of our Lord and Savior. Now you can rest. Your work is done, Priscilla. Amen.
Just like to tell Priscilla's family what a joy she was to work with and be with at church. St. Matthew's is not going to be the same without her. I sang in the choir for so many years with her. She was an alto, steadfast, always there, always worked hard, and sang beautifully. And she is going to be missed there as well as the Ruth Circle. I know all her friends at Ruth Circle will be missing her. And in the kitchen, she was a kitchen stalwart and was always there. Whenever we had dinners, you know, she was there helping out. And of course, there's the soup. The delicious soup we used to get every month. A couple of the recipes I got from her, which was wonderful. But they were delicious, and they were well received. Everybody bought some. Priscilla, we're going to miss you an awful lot in choir and everywhere else. God rest your soul.
It seems impossible that Priscilla Killian is no longer with us. She was a faithful member of the choir for as long as I can remember. Priscilla was one of those people who never looked for praise. No job was too menial for her to do. She kept the church kitchen clean, including the stoves and ovens, and the kitchen always passed inspection. Priscilla started the Ruth Circle in the late 80s or early 90s because some of the mothers of the ladies were living in the area and didn't want to go out at night. They met in homes until the group grew too large, and then they moved into the church. The Ruth Circle was named for Ruth Bailey, who was one of the founders of St. Matthew's. Priscilla didn't have the title of president of the Ruth Circle, but she did the work of a president and much more. Priscilla set up the tables with seasonal decorations, supplied bread for our lunches, and cleaned up afterwards. She invited individuals or groups from the community who shared a variety of interesting programs after we had lunch. We could always depend on Priscilla, and my heart is sad that she is no longer with us, but we know that she is in a better place.
Please continue to pray for John and his family and hold them up in your prayers, please. I haven't received any prayer requests at this point. Well, I'm waiting for the prayer request by text or email. Let us pray together for ourselves for this Lenten journey. As we listen to God's word this morning, may God send the God's Holy Spirit upon us and enable us and empower us to be brutally honest before God. So we don't take this journey, this Lenten season, like an annual event. Let us take this seriously with the expectation that God will change us, with the desire to be transformed by God's grace. Let us pray. This morning before the service, you know, this messenger and I, we tested that we are connected, but I guess there is a technical difficulties right now. But as you see the prayer request on the chat, and anyone who comes into your mind this morning, so let us take time and pray for all those who are in need of prayers together. While I'm lighting these candles, let us pray for one another. Let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you all. Good. Good. Several announcements to share with you. As usual, thank you very much, all you worship leaders, you know, this morning. We really appreciate your sharing of your talents and hearts for this worship, you know, making this worship possible. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us at this worship service this morning. If it's your first time or it's been a while since you joined us since last time, then please send me an email, pastor@st-matthews.org. You can find it on the YouTube page and also on the church website. Please send an email that we'd like to get connected to you and that we can take this journey together. And also after service, please join us, you know, the virtual coffee hour. You can find the link on the church website and also on this YouTube page. And no password. Please just come. And we are having a virtual bake sale to help the poorest children in Africa. So order by February 25th, and delivery will take place between March 6th and March 8th. And you can take a look at the information, more information on weekly news. And on Fridays, during this Lent season, on Fridays from March 5th through March 26th, for 4 weeks, we are going to have this spiritual reflection time together. We are going to reflect on various topics related to the meanings of Lent and Easter. Last Sunday, I made an announcement that we are going to have this group meeting from 7 to 8:15, but after the announcement, you know, one of our Grammys came to me and a pastor, you know, have a meeting on Zoom at nighttime. It makes me, it kind of challenged me to go to bed afterwards. Then I thought about it and prayed about it. And that, yeah, that makes sense. It's all this, what do you call it, the wave part, you know, I forgot that technical terms. All those negative things that come from all these devices, you know, that may impact you, especially our seasoned citizens, you know, elderly citizens. Yeah, they may impact them. So I decided to provide two groups. Afternoon group from 4 to 5:15, and evening group 7 to 8:15. And please sign up. You know, each group is limited to 12 people. So please use the sign up central on the church website and sign up there. We'll watch a brief video clip, about 10 minutes, and then we'll discuss about that at each session. And then you can see the contents of the discussion and topics on the weekly news as well. And tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we are going to have a special charge conference with our district superintendent regarding the second PPP loan. So please come and vote. So special church conference at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Monday, February 22nd. My beloved siblings in Christ, it's wonderful to take this journey together with you. As we heard, the meaning of this visual art, this flower art here, our life may go zigs and zags and ups and downs. But like this lotus symbolizes the meaning, seeking for truth. I'm so glad we take this journey together to seek for the truth and find the truth and enjoy the truth all together, especially during this Lenten season. So let us take it seriously, and each and every day, let us reflect on that question. What do I mean by I am the body of Christ? Does my life manifest the meaning of it? Now go with assurance. The Holy Spirit will guide you, will lead you, and empower you. God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. Let us bless each other through this blessing song together.
Amen.